Hello, and welcome to Food Stuff. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And we've got another special episode for you guys today.
Yes, a very special Food Stuff, you might say. As we've talked about a lot, we went on a road trip to Kentucky recently in May. And you may have heard some of the episodes come from that. We had two bourbon episodes. Mm-hmm. And this, we present our road trip episode.
Yes, it's our road trip roundup because we came to the office and, carpooled in Annie's car.
Yes, and it was filthy. I would like to point out,
the outside was filthy. The inside was fine.
The inside was very acceptable, but the outside, okay, it was, there's a lot of pollen in Atlanta.
Yes.
And it, my entire car was painted with pollen. And I went home a couple weekends after we got back from this road trip, and my mom, like, said nothing and was like, we're leaving. And I said, okay, where are we going? And she took it to the car wash, and we had to take it through twice, and it still didn't come off. We had to hand scrub it.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, I'll try to post a picture. It was quite the scene, quite the spectacle.
So, yeah, so we had a super classy road vehicle.
We did.
And while we were in the car, producer Dylan came along with us as well, and we rolled audio for like the entire 6 or 7 hours.
We did.
That we were in the car.
We absolutely did. And you're going to hear super producer Dylan in this audio, yeah.
Yeah, because we, like, he was saying just gold. Gold was coming out of his mouth.
And he was like, making puns.
Get a mic on you.
Yeah.
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 So he did.
He did.
He actually had a shotgun mic, if you guys are familiar with that term. It's sort of like an oblong, like, spike microphone. And people in other cars passing by were giving us looks.
Yes, they were. Because not only was that happening, we also had a GoPro with the most adorable bonnet. Because it was getting overheated.
Yes. Attached to the windshield, looking in at us or out at the scenery, depending on what was going on. Hopefully some of that video will see the light of day at some point. But we promise that this episode is related to food.
Ish.
I mean, yes. Because we did base the entire trip, as we would even if we weren't doing a food show, around food.
We did. And on the way up, we had two stops that we were determined to hit. One was the Mayfield Dairy in Athens, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And the Harlan Sanders Cafe. Yes, that Harlan Sanders. KFC of KFC fame.
Mm-hmm. The very first KFC, hypothetically.
Hypothetically.
Yeah.
And we talked so much about snacks. I went through and made notes of what we could maybe have separate episodes on. And one was popcorn and one was peanut butter. Yes, pretty much almost the whole time.
If you guys imagine that off the air we talk about food a lot, you're completely correct.
You are. Absolutely correct. It's all food and horror movies. We talked about road snacks, movie snacks. And then there is just some random pepperings of stuff that's too good.
Too good to leave out.
Too good to leave out. Yeah. Yeah.
So we hope that you will come on this journey with us.
Yes. And would like to note,
disclaimer,
this episode is not sponsored by KFC or Mayfield or Wild Turkey.
Totally not.
It just happened to come up quite a bit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we unfortunately did not record any audio. I don't think we would have been allowed to at the Athens Mayfield Dairy Tour. So I thought we'd give kind of a recap of our experience on.
Yeah,
on
sure, it. Sure. So Mayfield Dairy started out as a small family dairy, but it is now this huge production of milk and yogurt and ice cream and a few other products kind of in there.
Yeah, and if you've seen some pictures we posted on our Facebook page.
Yes.
One of them includes Maggie the cow, their mascot, and she was huge.
Oh, yeah, there was a very large cow out front.
Yeah.
Big cow.
Very big cow. And the tour.
Oh, yeah, because they do tours of the facility. All you have to do is, like, you show up and it's, what, like $10 or something like that? And it is so cool.
It really is.
I mean, it was, I love industrial machinery.
Yeah.
And I was super nerding out because I had no idea how those gallon jugs are made, how plastic gallon jugs are made. But we got to watch those getting made.
Yeah.
And all the fermentation smelled so amazing.
Yeah.
And the ice cream getting piped into the.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was beautiful.
That was one of my favorite things we saw was the filling of those huge, like, tubs of ice cream.
The, like, 5 gallon tubs.
Yeah. Because, like, this 5 gallon thing would just roll around kind of on a, I don't know if anyone's played Mousetrap, but kind of like those like two tracks that it's just.
Yeah, like all around the ceiling. And then yeah. and then they get like dropped down into mm-hmm. place and pushed under this spigot. And then it just fills it up with yeah. this like Willy Wonka looking like concoction that I only imagine is ice cream.
Yeah. And then it does a little hop so that it settles.
So that it settles. Oh, right. The hop. That was my favorite part.
The hop was very cute.
Oh, heck.
And here are some facts for you. T.B. Mayfield brought 45 cows in 1910 and began delivering milk to folks around Athens, Tennessee. In 1923, with the purchase of a 10-gallon ice cream entered the fray, and the company name was changed to Mayfield Creamery. T.B. Mayfield's sons took up the business in the 1950s, and they built the most modern milk plant in the Southeast. They stayed innovative with packaging and flash freezing techniques, spreading throughout the South until Time magazine named them the world's best ice cream in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
It's proudly displayed on their sign when
it
you come in.
It still is, yes.
Mm-hmm. They also came up with the zipper packaging, which is not really around anymore.
I had no idea. I don't think I had literally ever seen it.
Lauren had never seen it, and Dylan and I got ridiculously excited about it. Like, oh, the zipper packaging! I guess it's kind of a nostalgic kid thing.
Yeah, or maybe a Southern thing, like possibly, I don't know.
Yeah,
anyway.
Maybe.
Yeah. Look it up if you've never seen it.
Oh, absolutely. The yellow jug was introduced.
Yellow milk jug, yeah.
Yeah. In 1983, to keep out light and protect the flavor. Would love to do an episode.
Flavor and nutrients. Yeah, I think some of the vitamin D can get leached out from exposure to photons.
Yes, those darn photons.
Mm-hmm.
The best-selling flavor of ice cream, butter pecan, at least for Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
Super producer Dylan, at the end of this whole thing, you get to try ice cream.
You get a free scoop of ice cream.
As part of the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And super producer Dylan sampled Extreme Moose Tracks.
Spelled with an X.
Yes. I tried the blueberry cream pie. And
I think I had pecan praline, maybe?
I think you did. Yeah. We had a lovely time sitting on a porch outside eating ice cream.
It was beautiful.
It really was. And that was that. We all bought T-shirts, too.
We spent way too long debating which shirt to get. It seemed really important at the time.
It did. Both Lauren and I wanted this one that said, what was it? I don't skinny dip.
I chunky dunk.
Yeah. I mean, that's great.
That's beautiful. I felt like that shirt knew my life.
Yes. That's us at our core. Dylan got a beautiful tie-dye shirt
yes.
that I'm still hoping he'll wear
absolutely.
To work. So we had – it was a really great experience, and if anyone's in that area would like to check it out, the machinery alone is
– I completely recommend it.
Yeah. I think – didn't they – they patented the way to make those gallon jugs, I think.
Oh, did they? I can't remember.
I don't know if they patented it, but I know people, like, use them
yeah.
to, like, they have to pay Mayfield to make these jugs, which I thought was very ingenious.
Yeah.
It's really cool looking.
It is. It's fascinating. Definitely drop by if you're ever in the area.
Yeah. So, episode on milk forthcoming.
Oh, goodness, yes.
But just wanted to give, since we didn't get any audio, kind of our experience there. But this here is about when our road trip audio, right after this, is when we got things rolling.
Yeah.
So let's pick up on our road trip already in progress.
Yes.
Right outside of Knoxville, Tennessee.
This is a pretty uphill drive.
You are now leaving Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh.
And you are headed towards the Appalachians.
Appalachians? Where's that Appalachian Museum?
Oh, that... Is that this direction?
Oh, I don't remember.
Like I saw, I remember it's the didgeridoo.
Right.
Which just screams Appalachian history.
I'm not going to deny anyone a didgeridoo.
I'm not.
I forgot my didgeridoo. I knew I was forgetting something.
Are you hoping to find someone that you could have a didgeridoo off with?
Yes. Any excuse to play it, I never get to play it. It's just such a weird thing to be like hanging out like, let me get my didgeridoo. It's weird.
Before my girlfriend and I started dating, my two best friends met her at a party, and they convinced her that they were in a band called the Didgeridoo Dudes. It was a two-person didgeridoo duo. and I was like, oh, that's funny. I told that to the person I have a crush on, and then, like, a year later, she was like, aren't you the ditchery dudes? Like, we were just all out at dinner. I'm just trying to hear it in my head. I've never actually really thought about what it would sound like. Womp. Now you go, womp.
Oh, there it is, Museum of Appalachia, exit 122, friends. It might be a thing to do on the way back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just remembered you mentioned it.
Yeah.
Keeping an eye out.
Well, I'm excited about it.
Oh, they had that menu.
They probably have real weird snacks.
Oh, you're right.
They've got a great menu. There's a tradition in South to Midwestern. Maybe it's everywhere. I don't know. The type of restaurant that does different specialty dishes every day of the week.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah.
Like catfish.
Yeah, like Thursday is meatloaf, Friday is catfish.
Yeah.
Sunday is fried chicken.
Right.
It's that kind of place. It's like a...
Every day is a different...
Aggrandized meat and three kind of concept, which, oh man, the meat and three. I love it.
That's do love a meat and three.
One thing that I never had heard of before I moved to Atlanta.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Of those,
oh, glorious.
Speaking of daily specials...
Uh-huh.
Fried chicken, some of the best I've had in Atlanta, is actually at OK Cafe on Sundays.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've heard good things about OK Cafe.
They only do their fried chicken one day a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's very special.
Yeah.
They got all the sides you want, including the things like pot liquor, which seem very authentic, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got one of the things when I moved to Atlanta I was most excited about was OK Cafe being open 24 hours a day, but because of the recession, they had to cut down to just regular business hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fried chicken, similar to barbecue, I did a fried chicken of Atlanta tour, and that was one where I actually came to the conclusion, my mom made the best fried chicken.
Oh.
That was like the time I was like, oh, wow, that she really did. But I do like, Brick Store does a really good fried chicken. They only do it on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
Watershed, I like, but I'm not... A lot of people say that one's the best. I'm like, no.
You don't think so?
No. It's good.
Is it too fancy?
It's like... It still has that tinge of old oil taste to it.
Oh, huh.
Which is not bad, but I think that's what I like about... We made it that one time, and that was really good.
Oh, yeah, that was delicious.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that was lovely. It was terrifying.
Yes.
But it was lovely. The video I think is up on maybe Instagram and Facebook. We both squeal.
Yeah.
Like frightened children.
I did a super cut of all the times of us just being like, like backing up really quickly. We were very nervous. Especially like because it took so much longer than I thought it was going to take.
Yeah.
It was like 12 minutes. Per side or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's, well, I mean, you kind of want to go low and slow with that sort of thing because you want to give and you don't want to crowd the pan, so you want to give everything time to do the thing. We did a podcast episode on fried chicken, so we were trying to
recreate
it ourselves. I had never had homemade fried chicken before.
And it's delicious.
It was so good. The first piece was not delicious, but
yeah,
the rest
we burnt
of
that one a little bit.
Little tiny bit. That was so good. Oh man, we can talk about fried chicken science.
Oh, we can.
Yeah, because other than just like getting a lot of oil into breading, which is gonna be pretty tasty,
right? Oh yeah.
Frying stuff like chicken is a really rad thing to do for science reasons, because what happens when you drop a piece of breaded fried chicken into hot oil is that, first of all, the steam coming up out of the meat is going to provide a little protective layer around the food item, so the hot oil can't directly touch it. It's like a little barrier. And second of all, once the steam stops coming out, meaning that the interior has had a chance to cook through, then the oil gets to actually touch that outside barrier, letting it crisp up. So, physics.
Delicious physics.
Oh, the best physics. I just ate ice cream and I'm hungry.
Well, ice cream, the dessert stomach might be a joke, but I do think there is like the real sustenance food.
Oh, sure.
Versus ice cream.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and I'm hypoglycemic, so...
Oh, yeah.
That's why I eat every 2 hours. I realized that I didn't mention that in our episode about meals, but...
Yeah.
If I don't eat every 2 hours, I am the worst person.
Well, that's why you always have snacks.
Exactly.
You come prepared. I have an emergency jar of peanut butter.
Like, just on your person right now?
Yeah. I'm not without that emergency jar of peanut butter.
This is something you always have?
Yeah.
How have I never... Have you heard about this before?
I did not know that. No, you are full of surprises. When I was in middle school, and, you know, I didn't look at nutrition facts. I was in middle school.
And for sure.
So I would get jars of Skippy peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And I would lay in bed at night and watch Conan O'Brien and eat half a jar of peanut butter.
Oh my gosh, and I used to stay up late and watch Conan too.
And I would just roll the peanut butter jar underneath the bed.
Oh man.
One day my dad walked in my room and he was like cleaning up a little bit for me, which is very nice, but he looked under my bed. He's like, you got like 7 jars of peanut butter down there.
It's my Skippy stash.
You ate half of the jar every night. Doesn't everybody do that?
That's a serving.
I slept well, and I know why.
I mean, you were not lacking for protein. No. I'm sure your skin was supple.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I guess the first maybe 20 years of my life were a peanut butter phase.
Oh.
It was pretty serious.
What was your favorite?
Just plain, like, peanut butter and cherry jam, like, chunky, like, cherry preserves on whole wheat. On, like packaged, like terrible store-bought, like, smooshy whole wheat. Yeah.
Why does that make me so hungry?
I know. Oh, my God. I think my mouth is actually watering. Peanut butter.
No, that I'm not really supposed to eat peanuts. They upset my stomach. And so that peanut butter and pickle sandwich that we had the other day was the first time I had had peanut butter unto itself in years.
Bummed about that for you.
It was still pretty good.
I'm glad.
You never got any of that sandwich in any of those sandwiches, did you?
Oh, we still have the stuff for it, friend.
I really like peanut butter and pickles, and I'm thinking about it. I think I'd like it together.
It was that bad, no.
It was, we did apparently, we did it slightly wrong. We got bread and butter pickles and white bread. Mm-hmm. And I think the official recommendation on, and at least from our listener, whose name I'm forgetting, who was kind enough to write in about her grandmother's recipe, said that it was rye bread and dill pickles.
And mayo in this case.
Oh, and mayo, yeah. Oh.
But the New York Times one is not with mayo. The big one that everyone was talking about.
The like meme version that's been going around. The mayo didn't really, I mean, it didn't make me mad. I'm sure it made you mad.
It made me pretty upset. Oh, there's some kind of old-timey...
Oh, that looks
abandoned
creepy.
Fur.
Wow.
Whoa.
Oh, God. That's real depressing.
Yeah, that is the stuff of nightmares just drove by.
Especially in conjunction with that liquor store billboard.
Yes.
I was like, oh, no.
It was an abandoned...
Carnival,
I would say. Yeah. There was like a Ferris wheel.
There were two Ferris wheels.
Two Ferris wheels and some rocket thing.
The Titan rocket.
Titan rocket.
There you go.
Oh, wait. The line. The Kentucky line.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, gotta hold a breath.
What is it?
Birthplace of Abraham Lincoln.
Your old foil, Abraham Lincoln?
My old nemesis.
Interesting choice. Beloved by all.
Not by me. All right. No, I was mad because I interrupted my phone.
Oh.
And she said, "Welcome to Kentucky," which would have been a cool soundbite.
Oh.
It has nothing to do with Abraham Lincoln. I wish I could remember that issue of Deadpool where the dead presidents come back to life.
Ooh.
I wish I could remember what Abraham Lincoln said. It's something like, "Here's the proclamation." And it rhymes with emancipation, but it's not that. I remember FDR's New Deal. "Here's the New Deal. You die!"
Dang.
I just remember very clearly that all the presidents had some weird catchphrase that made me laugh.
I'm here for the presidential humor.
President
George Washington, am I right?
Right? Dylan. This is why you're mic'd, Dylan. Oh, I'm hungry. Where are you, Harlan Sanders?
20 minutes until fried chicken. What?
So hungry and excited.
Yeah.
I haven't had fried chicken in a while.
Really? Oh.
I haven't had. I actually remember specifically the last time I had KFC.
Yeah.
I was a freshman in high school.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time for it.
I got a bucket of popcorn chicken, like a bucket.
Ooh.
And me and my friend watched The Faculty.
I love that most of your food experiences are appended with what horror movie you watched that night.
Yes. Because horror movies stand out, you remember.
Sure.
I remember eating that fried chicken and Jon Stewart gets a pencil through the eye. I'm not going to forget that. Is that it? Sanders Cafe and Museum! We're so excited! Oh my gosh.
It is on the National Register of Historic Places.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
Well.
When they retrofitted it back in 1990. Yeah. Oh. Made the list.
Wow, look at you, Harlan Sanders.
You finally made it.
You made it big.
Your destination will be on the right.
I think I see it.
There it is, yeah, there it is right there.
What? There's a drive-thru?
Yeah, it was a KFC.
So there was one thing that everyone on this road trip was very, very probably overexcited about.
Yes.
And that was visiting the Harlan Sanders Cafe.
Well, because it's not just the Harlan Sanders Cafe. It's the Harlan Sanders Cafe and Museum.
Yes.
There's a museum.
Mm-hmm.
It's located in Corbin, Kentucky.
Yep. and I, it was another wonderful and fun and weird experience.
Yeah. This is also, we timed it to roll up around lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
Part of our excitement might have been hunger.
Absolutely might have been.
Because we had had, ice cream and nothing else.
Yeah. That sounds like a regular day to me.
Oh, goodness. So a little bit of why we were excited about this place, which we covered a little bit of, I think, in our fried chicken episode.
We did.
But here's a little bit more detail about this first KFC.
Yes. Around 1930, Harlan Sanders moved to North Corbin, Kentucky, and opened a gas station on U.S. Route 25. He'd cook and serve meals to folks at his own dining table in the back. And as word got around and more folks wanted to eat, he opened the Sanders Cafe in 1937. It was promptly destroyed by a fire. But Sanders built a new one across the street along with a motel complex that we were all interested in that opened on July 4th, 1940. The colonel himself ran the restaurant from 1940 to 1956, and this is where he allegedly developed the secret KFC recipe in the 40s. And it was connected to the Sanders Motel. To get to the bathroom, women had to pass through the model hotel room.
A model hotel room that they built into the restaurant so that women could come through and see what it would have been dealing, what they would have been dealing with. Please come stay. Look at how great it is.
Look at how beautiful. And they still, you can see they put one in.
They restored, yeah. They restored. You don't have to go through it to get to the bathroom anymore.
No.
There's separate restroom facilities.
No. But you can take a peek inside at what it would have been like
to
stay at the Harlan Sanders Motel. Business was good until construction was completed on I-75, the highway bypassed Corbin entirely.
Yeah. He would sell the cafe in 1956 when he began franchising Kentucky Fried Chicken, and eventually the cafe was converted into a franchised KFC. But then, in the late 1980s, it was retrofitted into a more original version of the cafe, and a museum was added.
Mm-hmm. The Harlan Sanders Cafe was inducted to the National Register of Historic Places in 1990.
Yep.
We had a really fun time, and there's a lot of supplemental pictures that are fantastic.
Oh, there are, yeah. I know that we posted some on Instagram and probably on Facebook, but when this comes out, I'll make sure
yes.
to post more or link to them.
Right.
Because they're pretty glorious.
They really are. There's an excellent picture of Super Producer Dylan in what seems to be a conversation.
Deep conversation with the colonel.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
It's true. It's all true. So we have even more road trip for you. But first, we're going to pause for a quick break for a word from our sponsor. And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So this, our next portion of the road trip, is just about our arrival to Lexington, which is where we were staying.
Yes.
And we had a lovely time there. Great experience.
Oh, absolutely.
But let's pick back up with our road trip audio.
So does everyone want to talk about their KFC, their Colonel Sanders, or their, I'm sorry, Harlan Sanders Cafe experience?
Sure, yeah. It was very exciting. We were very excited.
Yes.
There was a lot of memorabilia. Oh, and we saw the motel room.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. The old model, they must have rebuilt out this model motel room so that we took some pictures. They'll be on Instagram or something.
Somewhere. They'll exist somewhere. We ordered some food.
Yeah, I think it's the typical KFC menu.
Yeah, I believe so. I haven't been, as we were talking about, I haven't been in since high school. Food was fast.
Oh, it was so fast.
It was out probably 10 seconds after we...
Yeah. It took longer for the ticket to print and for my card to go through than it did for the food to be ready, I think.
I believe so.
Or like it was equal.
Yeah. And we sat in the, I think that was the original dining room.
Those big, like, dark wood panels. It was really pretty.
Yeah. And we ate KFC at the place where it allegedly started, got its birth.
There were some good quotes on the sign. There's a historic registry placard outside.
Oh, yeah.
And on one side it says, his food was well-liked, which I liked.
Yeah.
He has a plaque inside about... his country ham breakfast.
Oh, right.
Yeah. They have a little room set up like it might have looked for breakfast time. And it said that it cost $1.70 a plate, which wasn't worth the price, but it was good. It said something like that.
It's not worth the price, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Something to that extent.
Yeah. I enjoyed that too.
A little bit self-deprecating, which I like.
Yeah.
I got the two-piece...
White meat. I got a two-piece dark meat.
And Dylan got a Nashville hot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta be so trendy.
You are trendy. You are.
All three of these things came with sides of mashed potatoes and gravy and a biscuit.
And a cookie. A random cookie.
Yeah.
A single cookie.
Mine came with a cookie.
For no apparent reason.
It was under the... It was part of the $5...
The Philip.
$5 Philip.
The $5 Philip.
I am full.
I am very full.
They were not lying at all about the full up part.
Yeah, no. More than full.
It was, I mean, the chicken was really good. It was very salty and very peppery and so crisp, and the meat inside was so tender.
Yeah. We finished our plates.
Yeah. I think the winner for me was dipping the biscuit in the gravy from the mashed potatoes.
Yeah, that was good.
It was a pretty okay biscuit.
Yeah, the biscuit was great.
Yeah. The buttery topping that they used on top of it, because I don't think it was actual butter, I think it was butter flavoring.
Sure.
that, like the bottom half of the biscuit dipped in the gravy was terrific. The top half of the biscuit dipped in the gravy tastes like chicken and biscuit crackers.
Oh, yeah.
Like exactly like those.
Uh-huh.
It's all those science flavors melding together.
Those science flavors.
Yeah.
KFC's at the top of the game.
Yeah.
All in all, I'll say it was better than I remember. I will say that. Because I actually, as a kid, really did not like KFC.
Oh, yeah?
I liked the popcorn chicken, but that was it. So this was a good experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had very sweet tea.
They did, which Dylan asked me, what do you think the Colonel would drink?
Oh,
and I said sweet tea. It seems like a sweet tea.
Yeah.
He seems like a sweet tea guy. They had his suit. They had one of his suits.
Yeah.
Just, like, up.
Yeah, just on a, you know, mannequin.
He seemed like a big fellow. Oh, Dylan, you should tell the Curse of the Colonel story.
Oh, right.
Oh, yes. So I believe this is also on our website, howstuffworks.com. And also, I think Ridiculous History recently did an episode about it. But Curse of the Colonel, in Japan, KFC is huge.
Very big.
There's a stadium where there used to be a bust of Colonel Sanders out front. And after a game, I believe it may have been a championship game, some particularly rowdy fans took the Colonel statue bust. I don't know if it was full body, but... They got it out of its place and they threw it into a body of water, and the team has not done well since. And that was decades ago, I believe late 80s, early 90s at this point.
Curse of the Colonel.
Curse of the Colonel. He knows. He gives and he takes away.
If he found the ability to curse, like if anybody could, I believe he could have, and he would.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, he would have.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he would.
Yeah, not just cussed, because I think he did a lot of that, too.
He did.
But actual, like, witch's curse kind of.
Yes. Yes. He seemed like someone not to be trifled with. He would tell you his mind.
Yeah. One of the stories, I can't remember if you've already brought it up on this trip so far, but he was involved in a shootout.
I mentioned it briefly, but
he was over chicken signage.
Yes, because the competitor painted, I think he painted over the Colonel's.
The Colonel's chicken sign.
And his answer to what do we do about this problem is, let me get my gun.
Yeah, he went out, the guy that he was with on this like
expedition
was sent to prison for murder.
Yeah, they killed the guy.
Yeah.
I can't say for sure, but I would guess that the colonel might have been the one that did it. Wasn't there?
No.
He also was a lawyer, and he got fired for punching his own client in the face in court. In court.
You know, when you talk about the colonel and you hear these stories, it sounds like he lived 100 years before he actually did.
Right, yeah.
It sounds like he was Andrew Jackson times.
Yeah, this was like the 1950s.
Yeah, no. Duels weren't a thing anymore.
No.
But perhaps he was outside of his proper time. Yeah, I don't know. And my favorite thing, I can never remember the exact quotes, but he would go around to KFCs around the country and taste test, and he just was so disappointed towards the end of his life. And he would say things like, the mashed potatoes taste like wall paste and glue.
Did you see, was it the KFC Twitter account was only following 11 people?
Yes, and they're all like named Herb and
different spices. So, like the Spice Girls.
Oh my goodness,
and
no.
And someone found out, like they tweeted about it, and then they sent that guy a painting of Colonel Sanders getting a piggyback ride from the guys who found it on Twitter in the woods. Yeah, it's like a oil painting.
That's
a well-done oil painting.
Amazing.
Describe it in detail, Lauren.
Okay.
Paint a picture for our audience.
It's this lovely oil painting, like in a wooded mountain scene. A sunset, it appears to be. And the colonel is wearing a tracksuit, and he's giving a piggyback ride to this younger fellow, who appears to be from Oregon. I'm going to guess Oregon, based on the shoe choice and the khakis. Oh, I made it. Okay. And the fellow who is receiving the piggyback ride has one arm around the colonel's shoulders, and that hand is holding a piece of fried chicken.
Oh.
And then the other arm is pointing off gleefully into the distance.
To the future. He's pointing to the future.
Yeah. There also appears to be a buck in the background.
A buck?
Like a deer.
I gotta see this tracksuit.
Like, this is... It's. I don't know if this is working at all, but that's what it looks like. I asked on Twitter what people's favorite road food is, and we've gotten some answers in.
Oh, okay.
Michael says corn nuts, as the car wash guys can attest, for on the road. And then for food breaks, biscuits and gravy or chicken fried steaks, only at truck stops. I've never had a chicken fried steak on the road.
I'm not sure I have either.
Ian says pork rinds, because the four walls of my car act as an impenetrable shame shield.
Yep.
Becca says beef jerky. Solid choice.
That's a good one.
Protein.
Yeah.
It can dry you out a little bit, but it's good. And EJ says, combos or tater skins. I only eat those foods while riding in a car.
There are some foods that are like, this is appropriate on a long trip, but
yeah,
otherwise...
Yeah, but otherwise...
Never.
That's how I feel about combos. I really like the pizza combos.
Oh, I tried those for the first time the other day. Who bought those?
I don't think it was me.
You've got to try a pizza combo. We were talking about pizza rolls.
Oh, uh-huh.
And how the only time you have pizza rolls is when you're drunk in college and they're way too hot.
But yeah, you immediately burn the crap out of your mouth.
Immediately. That's the pizza roll experience.
Yeah, yeah.
No one's ever eaten a pizza roll at the right temperature.
It's like, nobody.
It's like 50% of the flavor is just... Burnt
mouth, yeah. And then burnt in your stomach, like, yeah.
A good snack from my childhood that I only eat in the car is gummy bears.
Ooh.
But then you take, they used to make, they don't make them anymore, but 3D Doritos, do you remember those?
Oh, yeah.
You bite the tops off of the 3D Doritos, and you put the gummy bear inside.
And then you eat the whole thing?
You eat the whole thing.
Can you describe that flavor experience?
It's a real umami flavor. It is salty and sweet and crunchy and chewy.
Oh, man.
It really covers a lot of your bases.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. Also cheesy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I used to put Doritos on my peanut butter sandwiches for a while.
Huh.
Really?
Yeah. Because I liked the crunch.
Like nacho Doritos or like Cool Ranch or...
Nachos for the preferred.
Yeah.
Cheese and peanut butter is, I guess, pretty common.
Yeah, they've got those cheesy crackers.
Yeah.
What if, you know, you said that you did the pickle and peanut butter sandwiches?
Yeah.
What if you did dill pickle, like dill chips on a peanut butter sandwich?
Ooh.
Now that's interesting. I like the crunch that chips add to things more than flavor. The other day I was trying to figure out, as I was going through my second bag of popcorn, why it is I like popcorn so much. And I think it's the crunch and the salt.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, I really like a good crunch.
Sure. It's very satisfying.
And popcorn is so, like... Oh, man. Can't even describe. It's just like there's something about it that makes you want to just keep going.
Yeah,
because it's light,
it's fluffy. Yeah, that it's almost like popping bubble wrap with your teeth.
Yeah, there's something satisfying about it.
Yeah.
How do you feel about getting pieces of your popcorn kernels
in
your mouth?
That's terrible.
But it's not terrible enough to prevent you from your deep love of popcorn?
No, most of my foods are pains. Like, I mean, peanut butter is difficult. Kale is a nightmare. That's not going to stop me. You can take care of that later.
Annie Reese, the masochist gourmet.
Peanut butter popcorn and lobster.
Man, lobster is difficult.
Annie, I feel like when you go to the movies, is popcorn your number one thing?
Yes. What's your go-to snack, Dylan?
Cookie dough bites?
The cookie dough bites? Yes.
Yeah. If I'm going to go for candy, my classic was always Reese's Pieces.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
But with a backup of Twizzlers.
Ah.
But usually if I'm going to get something, it's going to be popcorn.
Yeah.
I like that you can get... I like it, but I wouldn't do it. Fruschetta pizza? Have you seen that? You can get personal, like, fruschetta pizzas.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's... Maybe it's only at Regal, but...
Huh.
Yeah.
We made it to Lexington.
Whee!
They have Thornton's up here. Heck
What's
yeah.
Thornton's?
It's a gas station brand.
It's fun to get excited about gas stations and not really know why. I do that a lot.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, Thornton's.
I get excited about 7-Eleven a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Is there a particular product at a 7-Eleven that you enjoy? Is it the Slurpee?
It's the Slurpee, yeah. When I'm in New York, there was the last trip I took to New York, every night on the way back, I'd be like, can we get a Slurpee? And one night I was going to get a Diet Coke Slurpee, and my friend was like, Dylan, no, go full. Go full on.
Go full Coke.
But why would you get a Diet? We've been drinking all night. Why would you get a Diet Coke Slurpee?
A horse statue over here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Leaping over that thing.
We really did our horse research before we came
really
on this
did.
Trip.
We had arrived at our destination at last. And when we come back, we're going to play some audio from our goodbye. I call it the Kentucky goodbye. but first, we're going to pause for one more quick break for a word from our sponsor. And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, and this brings us to our farewell to Kentucky.
Yeah. This was after 3 grueling days.
Oh, yes.
2 nights, 3 days in Kentucky and the surrounding area. We were headed back home.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to share our kind of closing thoughts about the trip and all of the things we had done and eaten and drank.
All of it.
And drank. And drank.
Mostly bourbon.
So, do you guys want to talk about some derby foods that we ate?
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're officially on our way back from Lexington.
Yes.
To Atlanta.
We are.
We have said our farewells.
We did.
With whiskey.
We did. As is appropriate. In Kentucky.
Yes.
We learned the Kentucky hug, the Kentucky hello, the Kentucky goodbye, or some other ones, and the Kentucky breakfast. Just bourbon involved in all of those.
Definitely 8 things that weren't bourbon.
But we're struggling to think of them.
Oh, Derby Pie also has bourbon.
But it's more diluted. It's a flavor experience of it's a little sweeter and a little less. You detect the alcohol a little bit less.
Yeah, more pie, less bourbon, perhaps.
Yes,
In that one. Derby Pie is a pie crust, or perhaps a pastry crust, and then like pecan pie filling with chocolate.
Yes, chocolate chips.
Chocolate chips, and then a crumb crust. That's the kind that we had.
We had the actual Kern's Kitchen Derby Pie, which is different than most Derby Pie.
Okay.
So the Kern's Kitchen one is a pastry crust with walnuts instead of pecans. No bourbon, actually. And chocolate, and they have like a little pastry topping. Not pastry.
Like a crumbly, yeah. crumb crust kind of
thing. Right.
Yeah.
Streusel-esque, but not streusel.
Yeah. It's like a little bit salty, and it's got like a savory twinge from the nuts.
Yeah.
and it's sweet, but not like super tooth meltingly sweet.
Yes.
That's the original Derby pie.
Right. Most people, I feel like, think of, when you think of Derby pie, what you're thinking of is a pecan pie with chocolate chips and bourbon. That is what other people have made that they cannot call Derby pie.
Because Kern's Kitchen
has a trademark. That's why you will see, if it's the real thing, it will have the little trademark symbol next to it.
Uh-huh.
Derby pie.
And if it's not, it will usually be called, like, not quite Derby pie.
Yeah. Or there are some really funny ones.
It tastes good. Both versions taste lovely.
Yeah.
One of my favorite pies.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah?
The Kern style.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. Me too. Me too. I really liked it.
We also had a hot brown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and we ordered, y'all ordered two.
Should have split it.
Gigantic. It was this dish.
Overall, I will say the serving portion size in Kentucky
is quite large.
Astounded even me.
Yeah.
Would you guys describe what a hot brown is?
Yes. It is usually a piece of Texas toast with, it's an open face sandwich essentially. So Texas toast, turkey. This one had ham, but they normally don't.
I've read recipes either way.
Yeah, but this one also had bacon, and then it's topped with cheddar and Mornay sauce.
Mornay sauce being a bechamel, which is a classic. You brown some flour and you add some butter and cream.
Well, I don't know.
Cream, and then that's bechamel, but then you add in cheese, usually.
Is it Parmesan? No, it's Gruyere.
Yeah, usually Gruyere.
Yeah.
But you can do it with basically any cheese and make it count. So that's Mornay sauce. So, yeah. So this nice, cheesy, creamy sauce.
Yeah, and then Parmesan on top of that for more cheese.
Uh-huh.
And a real nice big tomato slice.
Yeah.
Yeah, big tomato slice.
Usually it's got, like, paprika or pimento in the seasoning to give it a little bit of a sour, like sweet and sour tang. We had a lot of good stuff in Lexington.
We did. We went to a distillery and a brewery.
Yeah. Oh man, and we had such excellent experiences of all of them. Everyone was so rad.
Yeah.
And friendly and knowledgeable.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. All around great experience. Had a lot of donuts, had a lot of ice cream. A lot of sugar.
Yeah, there were two donut places and two ice cream places that Annie really wanted us to go to.
Yeah. We got sugared out. I had even more places, but eventually you've got to tap.
You got to give it out. Yeah.
I think one of the most interesting was Dough Daddy's, which was a gas station.
Yeah, that, donut shop, yeah.
Give you a free donut with every fill up.
Yep. That was recommended to me by a friend who used to live in Lexington. And I am almost certain she just discovered it on accident and saw that you could get a free donut when you got gas.
To get gasoline and then was like, oh.
It was such a wonderful surprise that I think she was like, you've got to go there.
But they were really good donuts.
They were. Yeah. We were overwhelmed. Everyone knew exactly what they wanted, and it was just kind of a consistent line of people.
Yeah, moving through, and they were all really befuddled that we were taking as long as we were.
We were staring like, what do we do?
Yeah.
I have a list of what we ended up with.
Oh, yeah.
Red velvet with cream cheese.
Right.
Apple fritter.
Yeah.
Chocolate strawberry. Sour cream, that had a glaze on it, didn't it?
It had a cream cheese glaze, yeah.
Okay, caramel yeast, and then maple bacon.
Oh, right, maple bacon yeast, yeah. Oh, they were all real good.
Yeah. We ate these on the way to Bourbon.
Like, in the morning, first stop donuts, second stop, by, like, before 10 a.m.
Buffalo Trace. We'll just do the tasting, please, and thank you.
Oh, man, at Buffalo Trace, we did a tasting, and we had an excellent taste guide by the name of David.
Yeah.
He had an excellent mustache.
He did.
And patter, and he was one of those bartender humans who's been doing it long enough that he just does bar tricks. Like, he'll just be spinning bottles in the background while he's giving you all of this very wise information about bourbon.
Yeah.
One of the things that he showed us was this terrific, so they do a a white whiskey out of Buffalo Trace that's really high proof. It's like 125 proof. It's very strong, but it's the same bourbon stuff, the same whiskey that would go into a bourbon barrel and become bourbon, but instead they don't do that, and they bottle it at proof.
Right.
So it's quite strong, but it has all of these amazing flavors of the corn and the rye and the wheat. Super interesting, but he poured a little bit of it into the palms of our hands and had us rub them together and then inhale that scent 3 times.
Yeah.
And each time, as the as various things evaporated, you got a completely different scent experience.
Yeah.
The first one was just pure alcohol, just like the alcohol is right there. Then with that heat and friction, the alcohol burned off, and you got the corn.
Yeah.
The corn flavor.
Yeah.
And then you rub that off, and you get the yeast flavor. It was nuts. It was like a magic trick.
It really was. We were.
My mind was absolutely blown.
We were blown away. A fun fact about that too is he called it. Oh, it's called White Dog.
Oh yeah.
And David said, "Because it'll make you howl."
Very strong. My first sniff of it, I was like, I walked away from the bar. Backed up away from it.
It was actually very flavorful.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I've had a few white whiskeys before, but I don't think I've had one that I enjoyed the experience of drinking.
Yeah.
But I really liked that one.
I did too. I was surprised because he said the alcohol proof, and he was like, "It'll get where you're going really fast." Like. And I was thinking, man, this is just going to taste like burnt, just like hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
But it was really good. You could taste the corn.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Me too.
Yeah. And then there was a cream whiskey at the end, and then there was root beer.
Oh, man.
And it was a root beer float.
Yeah, it tasted like a root beer float. Yeah, I don't usually approve of cream alcohols. Like, if you already have your dairy product in the bottle, I'm not really into drinking that. Mm-hmm. I'm very distrustful of it. but this was also good.
It was.
And yeah, and when he added some root beer to it, oh, it tasted like the best root beer float.
And again, this was probably like 10 a.m.
At that point, it was like 10:20.
Okay. All of these bourbon distilleries are kind of far apart from each other. Not like far enough where you can only, I would say, realistically do like three or four
in a day. And that's if you get out very early. Yeah.
Yeah, which is what we were trying to do.
Yeah, because they all close around like 4 or 5.
Yeah, the last tour is usually at 4.
Yeah.
And we wanted to go to, so we did Buffalo Trace, Woodford Reserve, Wild Turkey. And we wanted to do Four Roses because it's pretty close.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to be those people that show up
right at close. Yeah.
So we didn't get to go.
Yeah. Woodford was also an amazing experience. We got to, they didn't have anyone booked to do tastings at the o'clock at which we arrived, but they were nice enough to, like one of their brand ambassador, JP, was just like, "Oh, I'll do it." Yeah. And then proceeded to give us the most amazingly detailed and charming bourbon tasting that I've ever experienced.
Yeah. We've been talking about the whole thing on and off since it happened.
Like about every 3 hours, one of us will just be like, "Oh, I wonder what JP is doing."
He was so zen. And I, like in the beginning, he said something like, "There's a scientific term I won't bore you with." And we were like, "No.
Bore us with it.
What is it?"
And we didn't have our microphones recording because we're fools.
We're fools. That was gold.
It all was. And it was such a delightful day.
It was.
And, like, it's a gorgeous campus out there. Kentucky is really pretty.
It is.
Rolling hills and all of that blue grass from all of that limestone base.
Yeah.
All that good calcium in it that makes the horses all strong and runny. There's honestly some very judgmental-looking horse statuary hanging out around Lexington.
Yeah.
I felt judged.
I did too. And humbled. You're right, horse.
I do need to look at my life and my choices.
I've never won a race. We need to consider how many donuts we're stuffing into our face.
Oh, the horses knew. That's the thing.
They knew.
The horses knew.
Your diet this weekend is essentially donuts and bourbon.
Just sugar and meat.
We didn't have a lot of meat, too. We didn't have many vegetables. I think we might have had one thing over 3 days.
I also had those fried green tomatoes.
Yeah, everything was fried. We had Brussels sprouts, also fried.
They weren't breaded, though.
They weren't. They were delicious.
They were. Oh, man. That was at what place was that at?
County Club.
It was great.
They had a
smoker out back, and so all of their meat products were lovely and smoked.
Oh yeah, it was so good.
We had some pork belly skewers.
Oh,
how are those wings?
They were incredible. They were dry rub, and I loved them. Hey y'all, can we talk about cream ales?
Oh yeah. So one of the other things that we kind of stumbled upon we also had beer in addition to a bunch of bourbon.
We had a lot of beer.
We had a lot of beer because there are a lot of amazing local breweries around Lexington. And cream ales, I think, were the new winner for all of us.
Yeah. I've been under the misunderstanding that there was cream involved.
Yeah.
That it would be like a kind of a root beer-esque type thing.
Like a porter's of some kind.
Yeah.
Nope. No.
It's very light, refreshing.
Yeah, very light, very summery. And it's got this, but it does have this sort of creamy mouthfeel to it.
Yeah.
So smooth.
Yeah. That's apparently from corn being used during the brewing process.
Yeah.
Who knew?
We learned so many facts about corn.
Probably lots of people knew that, but...
We didn't.
Oh, man. I think my new... It's up there. It's like top two favorite foodstuff smells that I've experienced is the corn fermenting for bourbon.
Oh, yeah. It smelled great.
It's heady and rich and sweet and... I'm not gonna like definitely not like clean, like it's kind of grungy, but in like a in that good yeasty like bread baking kind of way.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like bright.
The first vat that we smelt at Wild Turkey was a wonderful smell.
Oh, our favorite brewery that we visited though was Country Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had an amazing beer list and a lot of sours, a lot of really interesting different.
Yeah.
Different things, like really different things. A lot of cool collaborations. I really wanted to go buy one of everything to take home, but they weren't open yet.
Yeah.
I'm having an emotion about it.
It was like 11 a.m. and they opened at 12, and we considered just waiting around.
I considered waiting around. I think that Annie and Dylan were like, let's go home.
It's very good, though.
Yeah, I kind of regret that we didn't record our experience there, because it would have been like mostly silence, and then every now and then, I really like this. This is good.
Yeah.
Ooh, try this one. Oh, that is really good. Yeah. And then at Ethereal.
Yeah.
We each had a flight. Let's round that out to another 10.
Yeah.
And then at the brewery / distillery, the name of which is escaping me.
Altec Town Branch. Yeah.
That we just went to this morning because why not?
Yeah.
We tried another 3.
We also went to Blue Stallion.
Yes.
Oh, heck. And then we had like one beer each at Cat County, the smoky place.
County,
Yeah.
And it was right next to West 6th, and we wanted to go there.
Yeah.
Before it closed, but the restaurant was also going to close, so I went.
Yeah, she scouted and brought back a growler that we enjoyed at our Airbnb.
And one glass of wine called Pizza Sauce.
Ooh. I mean, the name, you've got to get it.
Oh, yeah.
We made the most of the beer.
Oh, my goodness.
Situation. Oh, and here's another fun fact that I really enjoyed. Fun fact is the thing have made me appreciate how big bourbon is in Kentucky. We went to Crank and Boom for ice cream.
Oh, right.
And I said, I'd like to try a sample of the bourbon and honey. And the lovely woman behind the counter said, which bourbon? And I was like, what? And she said, do you want Buffalo Trace? Do you want Maker's Mark? Would you like Jim Beam? And I'm just like, and she let me sample all of them. And they did all taste differently.
Oh, and we had barbecue from Stacks.
We did, yeah.
It's 2X Stacks.
That was our bourbon.
Much needed lunch.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that at the time that was Stax Records. It was based off of that concept. That's why they had so many Motown.
Oh, really?
Records everywhere. Yeah, because there's Stax Records with 1X. And this was Stax Records, Stax with 2X's. And so I guess it was a barbecue concept. Motown barbecue concept. It was good.
When their sign out front, we forgot to take a picture, guys, but their sign out front said, it's okay to smell our butts.
Yeah. Yeah, we knew we were in the right place.
Yeah.
What was the name of the second donut place?
North Limestone Donuts. Which was a quick walk from our Airbnb. And they were out of a lot. We got like...
Even though you got there at like 9 a.m.
I know. there was a blueberry French toast, funnel cake donut, funk fetti.
It was blue, but delicious. Otherwise not very funky.
Yeah. Cinnamonkey?
Yeah.
What was another specialty one?
Watermelon.
Watermelon, that's right. I've never had a watermelon donut.
Yeah, it was very, it tasted like... like someone had made a Jolly Rancher into a cake donut.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I think that's just about everything we have to say about that right now.
For now.
Yeah. We might hop back on mic for a minute, but I think right now we're gonna not record our own voices for just a little while.
For just a little while. We'll continue to just reminisce.
Y'all, I love Kentucky food.
Foodstuff signing off. Bye.
Bye.
So that was our road trip.
Yeah.
I have to say, on a personal note, it truly is a pleasure to work with people that you can go on a road trip with and have fun.
It was really delightful. I would go on a road trip with you guys basically anytime.
Yes, I would too.
You know, like six or 7 hours in the car is about my limit before I start getting real cranky.
So but it was perfect.
It was, A, it was perfect, but B, yeah, no, it was great the whole time.
Yeah.
I hope
we had fun.
We did. I hope that that comes through, and I hope that also you guys had as much fun listening to us have fun as we had at the time.
Yes. And we're going to have to go back, I think.
We really, it's really the only thing to do.
I have that free t-shirt in mind all the time. I never forget.
As we were leaving, we were like, it's too soon. There's so much more to see and do and drink.
We really were like that. Like, no, we need at least one more day.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, for this episode, since it's probably quite long already, we're not going to do listener mail. We'll pick that up in the next one.
We will. But if you would like to get in touch with us, you can.
You can. And we are looking for suggestions of where we should go next.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Because we want to do a lot more of this.
We do.
And we think it's going to happen.
We think so.
So tell us where we should go and why.
Yes. And you can send those suggestions to foodstuff@howstuffworks.com.
We're also on social media. You can get in touch with us there on Facebook and Twitter at FoodstuffHSW, stands for How Stuff Works. We're also on Instagram at Foodstuff. We hope to hear from you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to our super producer, Dylan Fagan, who you got to hear on this episode. He's pretty great. Isn't he, guys?
His pun game is on point.
So strong. So strong. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.